All right, Darren Dreger will join us for TSN Hockey Insider ahead of night one of the NHL draft tomorrow night. The Habs are on the clock. We believe Shane Wright will get picked. It's not a guarantee, though. This isn't, you know, this isn't McDavid. This isn't Sid. There could be a bit of a crapshoot between now and tomorrow night. But there are a lot of big names out there via possible trade, certainly upcoming free agents. So we'll catch up with Dregs and see where the Leafs land and all that, the other Canadian cities. So we'll catch up with him a little bit later in the hour. And listen, the Leafs over the next month are going to be fascinating. The Jays over the next month I think will be even more fascinating because they're currently playing and we know what they're lacking and what they need to address. The Raptors have done their work. You know, they quickly re-signed Chris Boucher, quickly re-signed Thaddeus Young. Then they go out there and acquire Otto Porter Jr. So as of now, their work is done. But Kevin Durant just happens to be out there. And to chat about it, we're joined now by senior NBA writer with The Athletic. Here is John Hollinger. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. Obviously, you know, Durant is taking up a lot of oxygen up here because until he's out, he could potentially be in. And Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster could be kicking tires. The first question everyone's asking is what it would take. And if it's Scotty Barnes, does it make sense? Where do you stand on that?
So if it takes Scotty Barnes, I would walk away from that. And the reason I say that is because at Kevin Durant's age, I think it's almost like the Kawhi trade for Toronto, where he gives you, in the short term, he gives you such a boost on your championship odds, right? But when you compare that to having what could be like a 15-year window with Scotty Barnes, I don't think that's a swap you make, irrespective of the other stuff you'd have to throw in the deal. So I would totally walk away from that one. Where it starts to make more sense is if you're looking at Siakam, if you're looking at Trent, if you're looking at OG Anunoby, if you're looking at maybe you don't have to give them all your future first, but a subset of them. There is a point where I think it does make a lot of sense for Toronto here. But I also think it's going to be, I think it's going to actually play out a little bit like the Kawhi deal did, where it's going to take some time. I mean, Kevin Durant is signed for 4 more years. They could theoretically drag this out the way Philadelphia did with Ben Simmons last year. God help all of us. I hope they don't, but that's definitely a possibility. So, because of that, like if I'm Masai Ujiri, I haven't put my best offer on the table yet. I'm kind of slow rolling into this negotiation because I know the Nets are going to take time. And if somebody wants to come in early and blow them out of the water, I'm not going to win that trade anyway, right? Like that's too rich for my blood anyway. I'm going to walk away. So I think he kind of knows what point he'd be willing to go to. It's, again, very similar to the Kawhi trade. And if it doesn't work out that somebody's going to offer the Nets, you know, the full Gobert package or James Harden package to get Kevin Durant, then he's going to step in and say, look, here's what I got. It's better than you have from anyone else. You don't want this to drag through another season. You should probably take this. And I think he'd have a good chance as long as he could convince Kevin Durant that it's worth coming to Toronto.
John, you've been in an NBA front office, and you know how this league works. It's a mysterious place that's run by the whims of the players in a lot of ways. I've heard from a number of people that are connected to the league that, you know, their best guess is that this thing blows over, that Kevin Durant is going to play for the Brooklyn Nets next season. What's your, you know, read on that possibility?
I think there's a chance of that because, well, let's put it this way. I don't think he's going to just no-show at training camp the way Ben Simmons did or, you know, go through all the various and sundry rigmaroles that happened there. I won't rehash all of that. So if he's still on the Nets roster in October, I do think he'll take the court. I just don't know how enthusiastically he will do that. There are ways for guys to get out on the court and put up some numbers and get paid and all that while still making it pretty clear they'd rather be someplace else. So I do think if he's not moved by October, he will be on the court. I just think it's the best. All indications are that the Nets do want to go ahead and move on from this. They just want to make sure that they get the best possible package. So they're gonna wait it out. They have no reason. They have no deadline, basically. There's nothing pushing them other than the big picture idea that they'd like to have this done by the fall. But even if it isn't done by the fall, it's not necessarily life and death for them.
How much does the Rudy Gobert return weigh on Sean Marks and when he's weighing his options as far as what he can get back for Durant?
That's really interesting because to me it was a pretty dramatic overpay. But now, first of all, when you're making the calls to other teams, you're asking for that, certainly. And then I think it becomes harder for him to take that to his owner and say, this is the best deal we got for Kevin Durant. And then Joe Tsai saying, really? Because Rudy Gobert got this, and he's not Kevin Durant. So I actually think it's going to make his life more difficult.
With John Hollinger of The Athletic, in terms of the place the NBA, if they could place Durant in one market, which one would it be? Would it be to stay in Brooklyn? Would it be L.A.? Like, there's a lot of rumors out there. Could he match up with LeBron?
If the NBA could pull levers behind the scenes, they would trade him to the Knicks. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah, I guess you're probably right. But what about the idea of LeBron and KD somehow coming together? Is that even a possibility, and what would that look like?
It would have to be for Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that works. And I just don't think the Lakers have enough other stuff to put in a deal to where it becomes tempting for Brooklyn, unless they really think Davis is awesome. And I mean, I think a year or two ago, you could make a more credible case that it looks like a fair swap of them two. Now, Davis is still younger, but I'd argue he's declined more in the last year or two than Durant has.
Kyrie Irving is a guy that reportedly wants out. Who can get a read on Kyrie Irving? I mean, who knows what he wants, where he thinks his career is going. But if Durant ends up somehow staying, can you picture a scenario where Kyrie does, or is it more so Brooklyn just they're dying to get rid of him and they'll find a way to do that?
Again, I think it's a case where, yes, they're dying to get rid of him, but they also know they can hold out a little bit for the best deal. The problem with them is that I think there's really only one realistic deal for them, which is to the Lakers for Russell Westbrook and draft picks. And then they got to figure out what other contracts to throw in there. But to me, that's the only end game for this is it's Kyrie and Joe Harris for Westbrook and Kendrick Nunn, because that makes the salaries pretty much fair. And then the Lakers are throwing in unprotected first round picks in 27 and 29. That's the only way this can end to me. And otherwise, there's no place else to send him because there isn't another team that really wants to take a bite of this apple unless it comes attached with so much bad contract baggage coming back to the Nets that they wouldn't do it.
Well, we'll see. Something's got to give here at some point. Thank you for doing this, John. We'll do it again down the road.
No problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yep. John Hollinger, senior NBA writer for The Athletic. Former VP of basketball ops with Memphis.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't know who's lining up for Kyrie.
I wouldn't be. I certainly wouldn't be. I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't go close to it. But, you know, I think this is where the Lakers come. I think it'd be LeBron that's lining up for Kyrie because, you know, he's aware of his talents. You would think LeBron would have a hate on for Kyrie the way that he went out in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way that he handled that situation and basically ran from LeBron. I couldn't handle being, I don't know, under the guidance of LeBron anymore, or the umbrella that is LeBron.
The guidance.
Yeah, however you want to describe
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, you know, LeBron and KD have one thing in common. Once you've played with Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving looks like heaven.
That's a good point. That's a very and KD saw him in his prime. Like now, like LeBron's seeing the worst version of Russ. And that will not improve next year.
No.
He is not going to be, you know, the comeback player of the year.
No.
It's going to get worse, I think, for Russell Westbrook. And, yeah, like that's – but the Lakers are desperate. You know, Brooklyn, they're trying to figure it out. The Knicks are – there's a lot of desperate teams. And it circles back to where the Raptors are at. The fact that they never feel desperate is a – like that's culture. We talk about culture, and you can't define it. What does it mean? Well, that's a part of it.
Yeah.
It's not desperate. It's not – you don't – feel like you have to do anything. You can walk from Kawhi and Paul George and say, we'll move on. You know, we'll figure it out.
And have confidence in the fact that you can rebuild it the way you want to, right?
Right.
Like that's the way I look at it, too. Like, if you are going to part with a piece like Siakam and OG and you're bringing in Durant for the short term, I would have confidence that Masai and Bobby are going to rebuild it again. They're going to find the next, you know, can say find the next Scotty Barnes, but you know what I mean. Like, you pick Scotty Barnes when there was other options available, and that's kind of the mindset that I would have if I'm them too.
Yeah, and you know one thing about Masai Ujiri, Frankie, is that, you know, first round exit, second round exit, conference finals, he ain't about that.
No,
that doesn't turn him on.
No,
you know, he's trying to take the swing that wins the ring, and that's what you got to love. That's culture too. That is a standard that I don't think any other team in this town can say they have.
No, yeah. And I think once you've got it, it actually allows you to breathe easier trying to do it again. Because, like, trying to do it the first time, the Kawhi stuff, that I'm sure that hurt Masai in a way, because he had, you know, DeMar had to go, had to go. Like, those were beloved figures that everyone loved, good guys, you know, good soldiers for the team, the community.
The best guys. Wanted to like, be, it's not the just best good, guys. Like, they're the best guys.
The best guys. Yeah. And he was like, you got to go. And yet it worked. And now that you've done it, it's like, okay, now I'm hastened to this. Like, I get it. I understand it. I got bulletproof here. And also, if it doesn't work, it worked the first time. You know, like, you can fall back on that, where you that championship is always, it's always his. Like, yeah. The iconic nature of Masai in this town has been established. It has been written in stone. It is not going to change if they swing and miss on a Durant deal.
Yeah,
you know, it's so I think he can be bolder than ever because he's already done it.
When I played for the Leafs, the second year I was there, we had Thanksgiving at Larry Tannenbaum's house with all the Leafs, all our wives, girlfriends, and all the Raptors as well. And Dwayne Casey and Mike Babcock both spoke at the dinner about the teams, about the year ahead, all that kind of stuff. Dwayne Casey's speech brought the house down. Like, it was very good, and everyone was looking at each other going, and we were intermixed at the tables with the Raptors guys, and we're looking at them saying, like, this guy talks like that all the time. Like, how do you not want to run through a wall for this guy? And that was, like, that's my impression of Dwayne Casey. And Dave, to your point, the fact that Masai had to move on from a guy like that and who leaves such an impact on people he just met or didn't even meet, just in a room talking to, I can imagine there was some sleepless nights for him.
For sure.
No doubt.
Yeah, it's scary, right? Like, it's an unknown. Like, yeah. The Raptors, like, before doing that, they were perennial playoff teams. Yeah. They'd make the – you knew by Christmas they were not only in the playoffs, they're probably going to win the division, you know, and maybe probably win a round if they played, you know, Orlando in the first round or Charlotte or something. And that's comfortable.
Yeah.
And that's where the Leafs are. Now, the Leafs have not won a round, but they're comfortable because the Leafs are like, we know we got enough to get there, and then that's going to keep the flies off until maybe the final two games of the first round, and then it'll get really loud. And the Leafs just continue to want to be comfortable. Like, they want to believe this comfort will eventually pay off, and maybe it will.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it will. But they have not allowed themselves, Dubas and Shanahan, to be uncomfortable, to do something that is a big swing.
A business decision,
Brian.
A big swing. Like a full-on business decision where you take all the emotions out of it and just say, I had to do this. It had to be done.
Yeah. And honestly, like, you know, maybe you could argue firing Babcock because of who he was and the price tag on it.
That wasn't hard for them. Trust me, that was not a hard decision for them.
You're probably right. The way the team was playing.
Not for Kyle.
Not for Kyle. That's
true. If you knew about the way things went down in that locker room and the way Babcock talked to people and talked to superiors and inferiors, that was the easiest move you could have ever imagined. It was a perfect storm that the team was playing poorly, and it was like, this is a great opportunity. Let's get rid of this guy.
Get rid of him. So yeah. Okay, so that doesn't even count. So, like, Dubas and Shanahan, Tavares wasn't a big swing. It fell into their lap, and they're like, okay, you know, here's 7 at 11 per. Yeah, you know, he wanted them.
He
didn't
have
to convince him. John Tavares always wanted to come
actually
home.
The business decision would have been to not sign him. Because
that would have been the swing.
Right.
The swing would have been actually we're passing. Or yeah.
Or to grind him harder.
Or grind him.
You get
$9 million. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, you want to come home, it's $9 million, or go take 11 in San Jose.
Right.
Yeah.
No swing there.
That was the game of chicken they needed to play.
Yes, it was. And, you know, they haven't they've made deals. Like, they've been very active, of course.
Yeah.
But like a big, bold, wow, swing. trading Wendell Clark for Matt Sundin after Wendell had 46 goals 46. And he went to the conference final. That's a swing.
But you know what it is? You never hear Masai Ujiri happy with himself. He's never defending his team. He's not, like the way Dubas and Shanahan have been kind of painted into a corner now, saying we believe in this group. We believe in this group.
Yeah.
They've almost kind of handcuffed themselves in some way from making that big swing because they've told the world how much they believe in this group.
And as a player, I'd love it. If I'm in that dressing room, I can't get enough of that because I just want to hear that I'm comfortable. I'm not getting moved. They believe in me, and maybe it'll pay off at some point, but it hasn't yet.
It has not yet. The regular season's been great.
Yeah.
And they've been knocking on the door in game sevens a lot. But, at some point, it's got to push through. All right, Darren Dreger will join us on the comments from Dubas about the Sandin deal, about Mrazek and where that stands. What's up in Calgary? What's going on in Pitt? There's a lot of different storylines that we're going to find out about in the next couple of weeks. Darren Dreger will join us next. All right, Frankie Corrado, Dave Festrick in here. We're going to call up Darren Dreger, our TSN Hockey Insider, here in a moment. Which Canadian market do you think is most nervous about, what could transpire over the next 2 weeks?
Montreal, I think.
Yeah?
I think so. You have a chance to get the first overall pick, and you're hoping you're not going to be in that position ever again because you want to be a competitive team. And you don't know who your GM is taking. And if you listen to the insiders and you listen to all the media reports out there, there's no consensus number one that's going to change the course of your franchise. So I'd be a little nervous if I was Montreal fans.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe it's a little self-interested, but I'm thinking it's Toronto, Frankie. I mean, there's a lot on the table here. Like, as sort of steadfast and calm as Brendan Shanahan attempted to portray himself after the sixth straight first round failure of his tenure as president of this team, and as much as they talk about how they believe in this group. Who exactly is in this group is very much up for debate when it comes to some foundational positions, especially that one that plays in the blue paint. So, and that to me, when you look at how thin this goaltending market is, Hayes, that really sets me at unease if I'm a Leaf fan.
Yeah, I think it may be Calgary, though, because their top line this year was arguably the best line in the league. Johnny Goudreau just had a career year. I don't sense he's returning. I mean, it's not done
really
until it's done, but it doesn't. It just feels like Calgary would know by now. And Calgary, why wouldn't you get the deal done by now?
Yeah,
if he's returning, why would he wait until the 13th? Maybe he's gonna pull a Stamkos and go and talk and say, you know what, forget it. I want to go back to Calgary. I think I don't dispute that he likes Calgary, but it just seems like there's too much noise about him going back to the East Coast, Jersey, Philly, something like that.
Oh yeah,
you think there's a way bigger number on the table though?
No, I don't think it's about the number. I think Calgary would give him the most money and give him an extra year. I think Calgary would likely give him 8 years at whatever the top dollar is going to be. It's just about lifestyle. It's about living. And then you got the Matthew Tkachuk stuff hanging over you, too, where Tkachuk can go to arbitration. He can take a one-year deal, then he's a UFA.
That's concerning.
Yeah.
That is nerve-wracking is what that is if you were a Calgary Flame fan. Like, you could. This is not out of the realm of possibility. This is not fear tactics. You could be a year away from Goudreau and Tkachuk both being on different teams. Yeah. And they were.
That can't happen, though. That can't happen.
Why not?
If you're running that club.
Oh, you can't let it happen, is what you're saying.
You're saying you trade them? You can't trade Goudreau. Goudreau's walking on you. Yeah.
You can't control that one, but you got to make this Matthew Tkachuk situation right because that guy's the beating heart of your team.
Yes.
You can't watch that guy walk away for nothing after a one-year deal. That's just not acceptable. That's not good management. And I guess, look, you got to do everything in your power to make it go away and make it right.
Let me ask you this, though. Why do you think Goudreau wants to be in Jersey or Philly so bad? Both those teams are not anywhere close to winning.
Nowhere close.
You have a good shot in Calgary, and you have a Vezina-caliber goaltender. You have a good coach. You have line mates.
It's all you've ever known. I think they've treated him well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just simply the old adage, that's where he's from. That's it. That's the only explanation.
It's great. It's nice to go home. There's a novelty about it, but then you talk about it on a 7 or 8 year deal. I think, like, Hey, how about this one? Hayes, you know, you played away from home in the Ontario Hockey League. Didn't you like being away a little bit? Wasn't it nice to just kind of be on your own page?
Oh, and, yeah.
You know, it's nice to come home. Like, I enjoyed playing in Toronto. It was awesome to be around family and friends and all that cool stuff. But there was just something about, for me anyways, being away in Vancouver where I'm on my own page. I'm doing my own thing. Like, I'm 3-hour time difference. I kind of liked it, you know? Mm-hmm. I liked it in a different way as a player.
Yeah, that's understandable. I'm with you. I don't know. Has it always been a dream? I think he's from just outside of Philly, I believe. So is Jersey just far enough? Jersey's like 2 hours. You know,
that's right.
I mean?
There, yeah, parts of Jersey are right next to Philly. Yeah. There, right.
Right. So it's like the Devils are basically in New York. They're not in Philly. So if you're with the Devils, are you just far enough where you're close to home, and if you want to pop down there, but it's not, no one's popping into the house unannounced. You know, maybe get the best of both.
Like
worlds.
Everybody loves Raymond episode.
There could be some unannounced pop-ins.
Maybe some pop-ins there. Yeah. Okay, yeah, pop-in, and I don't support the pop-in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, in Vancouver, I think there's some nerves out there as well in terms of, like, JT Miller. What's going to happen with him? Will he re-sign? Will they flip him? If they flip him, how do you replace that production?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're Bruce Boudreaux, you got to be nervous because you got to win, man, and Miller's out.
He's way more nervous than the Miller situation.
Absolutely.
I think the fans would be happy to, not to get rid of Miller, but just to get a nice package in return because they've gone through 7 or 8 years of basically kidding yourself thinking you're a playoff team when you're not.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No, there's some nerves. You know, there you can make the argument. There's definitely nerves in a number of Canadian cities. I think you can make the argument everywhere. Like in Edmonton, they had the best year technically based on what happened in the playoffs. Puljujärvi apparently is out there. Their goaltending's got to be addressed. As it's a hot button topic here, it is out there as well. Like Koskinen's gone. Mike Smith will be 40 or 41. So they have to address that position. They're, you know, Winnipeg, they bring in Bonus, but there's some nerves there. They're just Shifley going to finally go? Is what's going to happen with Wheeler? You know. There's every single market has it right now in Canada, and that probably is not a surprise considering 30 years of no cup success, right?
I was going to say we're coming up on the 30th anniversary next year, Hayes.
Yep.
30th anniversary.
30th anniversary. It is tough
it's
to believe.
Disgraceful.
It is.
It
really
is.
It's awful. Like statistically, it's almost impossible, but it's happened.
Yeah.
Here's Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. Dregs, we're just, you know, kind of going around the table on which market in Canada we think is the most nervous about what could end up happening over the next couple of weeks. Do you have an answer on that? Frankie said Montreal. Dave said Toronto. I said Calgary. Seems like there's a lot of options up here.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about that. You know, Montreal definitely, but Montreal at least is in a place where, you know, the market has been conditioned for what will be a rebuild, and it's more about the excitement of what that rebuild is going to look like. You know, what pieces you're going to bring in, starting with the first pick overall tomorrow. Edmonton. You know, the Oilers can't afford to go backwards. They made it to the Western Conference Final. So is it going to be Jack Campbell in net for the Edmonton Oilers? And Leaf fans are going to have to watch him every weekend and potentially march deep into the Stanley Cup playoffs again next year. Well, it's headed in that direction. But it's not there yet, obviously. He's not a free agent until July 13th. But it seems like the Toronto Maple Leafs are okay with just walking away from Jack. So that then takes you into the world of the Maple Leafs and what they're going to do in goal. Kyle Dubas met with the media after the GM meetings and, you know, seems okay with the idea of keeping Peter Mrazek plus, whatever plus might be, whatever they grab from free agency or via trade. Calgary, boy, huge hotspot because you've got the uncertainty of Johnny Gaudreau and more thinking he's going to free agency, which means he probably leaves Calgary. And then what does that do for the mindset of Matthew Tkachuk, a restricted free agent? You know, can you imagine if Matthew Tkachuk just flat out says, okay, well, Johnny Hockey's gone, so I'm not really interested in staying, so I'm not going to sign long term. Well, now Calgary's backed into a corner there. So we've pretty much run the gamut here without diving deep into Toronto. And then I should actually mention Ottawa because the 7th pick overall we know is in play. You know, Pierre Dorion said earlier today he thought it was 50-50 whether he could move that pick or would move the pick. And it's now leaning towards more likely he moves the pick at some point between now and the start of the first round. And
they've got some big ads that they've got to bring into the equation in Ottawa, up front, on defense. So every Canadian team has some significant moves.
Well, as you mentioned, the GM meetings, and Dubas was speaking afterwards, and he tried to paint a picture of positivity around Peter Mrazek. Are you buying that optimistic view from Dubas and company in Toronto?
Well, I guess I'm okay with it, because what else does Kyle Dubas have to say? I mean, they don't have a goalie. So
that's
they
true.
Do have one in Peter Mrazek, who's under contract. And I'm buying what he's selling in terms of, it's hard to imagine Peter Mrazek having a worse year than the year that he's coming off of, you know, be it from an injury perspective or when he was healthy enough to play, just the way he played. It was the worst experience of his career. So if you're an optimist, and Kyle seems to be that, then you look at him being better and maybe a lot better. But the one thing that struck me as odd was he also acknowledged ongoing discussion. I mean, I guess they're having discussions, but I don't think they're talking about a whole lot. There's been no meaningful negotiation. You know, they're really not talking about numbers at all. So what's the point of having any conversation? You know, if you've moved away from Jack Campbell, as you did with Freddie Anderson, then move away. You know, but what is plan A or plan B? You know, that's the big question I think Leaf fans need answered.
Dregs, what'd you make of Kyle Dubas' comments about Rasmus Sandin and the potential of an offer sheet? Because from the outside looking in, it reads like he's a little frustrated with how the contract negotiations have gone.
It sounds like that. Yeah, Chris Johnson actually just covered that on Insider Trading on SportsCenter. And we know that Dubas and the agent for Rasmus Sandin met, I believe, earlier today. So they're in an active negotiation. But this is about a couple of things. You know, it's always about the term and it's about the money. But Rasmus Sandin isn't shy on confidence. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in a positive form. He is betting and banking on himself. And he wants to know what his role is going to be like on that blue line for the Maple Leafs. Now, he doesn't have to be etched in stone. I mean, you know that you've got to earn your ice and power play time and all of that. But he wants a clear indication that he's going to be given an opportunity to do that. So this could get done pretty quickly, but it feels like there's still some navigating for Kyle Dubas to get it to that point.
So, Dregs, yeah, we were talking about this earlier in the show about, you look at that left side defensive depth for the Leafs, and you understand why Sandin could be frustrated, because you got Riley, you got Muzzin, you got Giordano, you got TJ Brody, who's left-handed but does play the right side. It's a traffic jam, to be sure. And there's the idea that watching, you know, the Lightning trade Ryan McDonough away, as good a player he was on a Stanley Cup team, but $6.75 million of cap space coming free. Do you see a bold move maybe saying, Jake Muzzin's getting older here, we gotta move off of him at 5.6 to free up some room, not only in the cap, but for a player as good as Rasmus?
Well, why not, right? I mean, you've got to make really challenging business decisions in this cap world, and nobody expects a salary cap to rocket through the ceiling in the next couple of years. I mean, the best case is the one that you decided, and that's how crushed Ryan McDonough was when Julien Brisebois and the Lightning management approached him after the Stanley Cup final and said, geez, we'd really like you to work with us. You know, we need your cap space. And the reason they did that is because they've got Mikhail Sergachev coming up, right? And his extension is meaningful. It's going to matter to the long term of the Tampa Bay Lightning. But how many years does McDonough have left on a 7-year contract? 4? You know,
right.
When he signed, you know, he believed that, you know, he's probably going to retire with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Well, again, the business side of things looks after itself. So, you know, the Maple Leafs love the experience of Jake Muzzin. He's been good when healthy for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But defense is a currency right now for the Leafs, and it's an opportunity for them to shed some payroll and create a little bit more cap space, and Jake Muzzin seems to be the target.
With Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider, Jesse Puljujärvi is a guy, his name appears to be out there. I don't know what his market is even supposed to be. I can't get a read on this guy and where his career is at and where it's going, Dregs. What is your understanding on that front?
Well, I know Edmonton is frustrated by how little interest there is in Jesse Puljujarvi. You know, they've got three or four teams that I would describe as nibbling. And I think that, Edmonton is a bit worried that they potentially are going to take it between the eyes. You know, that this trade is going to go down and they're going to sell low and the market's not going to be happy. Well, again, it's about making tough decisions. Jesse Puljujarvi doesn't fit, I don't think, in the bottom six in Edmonton. And you can see the body language of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl when they're frustrated by his play and his decision-making. So it just feels like the right time to move for both Jesse Puljujarvi to give him a fresh start and for the Oilers to maybe reinvest those dollars elsewhere. I'm going to be curious. They're worried that he's going to get moved and he's going to pop. And he's going to find a way to be more impactful than he's been in Edmonton. But how can you worry about that stuff? You know, you can't. He's not a fit in Edmonton. At least that's the way it appears in their top nine. So move on.
Dregs, do you think this could be one of those drafts where we see a lot of big moves on the draft floor? I mean, there's been a little bit of rumblings. You talk about a flat cap. I feel like teams need to make dollar-for-dollar moves ahead of free agency. You think that's something we could see this week?
Yeah, we could. You know, that kind of dialogue and speculation always kind of heads our coverage, you know, going into round one. And look, there's also opportunity for some picks to move. You know, what's Arizona doing with Jake Chychrun? You know, again, that's been one of the big stories here. No guarantee that he's going to get moved. You know, JT Miller talked about him. Tyler Myers' name is out there in the media in Vancouver as well. Well, how many of those things can be attached to, you know, moving of draft picks? You know, when you get past the top 10 of this draft, not a lot different than most drafts, you know, you can get a similar player deep in the first round or even early in the second round. But so many teams are up against it from a cap standpoint that there could be some interesting names, none that have surfaced beyond what we already know, but there could be some interesting names that are attached by a trade tomorrow or the next day.
So, Jags, you talked about the Mrazek situation and Mrazek being the best the Maple Leafs likely have right now if Jack Campbell's going to be too expensive. We had Kevin Weeks on. He was very adamant that the Maple Leafs should pursue John Gibson in a trade. We've had Noodles, you know, talk about how they should pursue Marc-Andre Fleury at the end of his career. Are you hearing much about what the strategy may be or could be for the Maple Leafs in the blue paint?
Well, I mean, you can try and get John Gibson. I would say good luck to that. I mean, Anaheim is trying to make a push too, right? Anaheim doesn't feel like they're that far away from being a playoff contender. And if they enjoy another great start, you know, maybe next year they kind of inch their way into that category. They're not doing that without John Gibson. And what does that package of return look like? Every time I ask about Gibson, I'm flat out told, stop asking about John Gibson.
Really?
So I haven't asked about it in the last little bit. I would say as far as Marc-Andre Fleury is concerned, yeah, I mean, it's an intriguing possibility in Toronto. I know that Alan Walsh, who represents Marc-Andre Fleury, met with Billy Guerin, who's the general manager of the Wild, earlier today. Guerin would love to keep Fleury in Minnesota and the tandem with Cam Talbot. But it's accurate to suggest that the Maple Leafs are an option that Marc-Andre Fleury would consider.
What does that deal look like, though, Dregs? Like, I would have to believe it's a one-year deal, probably. Like, is Fleury asking for multiple deals, multiple years? Like, how would that deal even play out if it were to be in Toronto?
I mean, it's a good question. The family always comes into it, right? When you're entering into one-year deals, that really impacts your kids because, you know, what happens after that 1 year? You're packing up and you're leaving again. At least with 2 years, you've got a little bit more stability under your belt. And at 37, you know, Craig Anderson just re-upped with the Buffalo Sabres. So maybe Marc-Andre Fleury could squeeze out a third year. I don't know. I mean, Walsh isn't willing to disclose those type of details, but we might be surprised. And I don't think that teams would spook from a two-year, maybe even a three-year deal on Marc-Andre Fleury. And we haven't even talked about Darcy Kuemper. Now,
right. You
know, his agent also met with Joe Sakic earlier today here in Montreal. The feeling is that Kuemper will probably stay in Colorado. They'll likely have to take less, but when you're the defending Stanley Cup champion, you know, sometimes that's more appetizing in doing that. But if it's not Kemper, why wouldn't Fleury consider a short term in Colorado as well?
Yeah, as I would suggest that would be a good idea if you're Marc-Andre Fleury, for sure. Well, we'll see what comes of it between now and tomorrow night, and then beyond that. It's going to be a fun 2 or 3 weeks. We appreciate you taking time. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. Yeah, you got Fleury, Kemper, Campbell. Interesting, Dreg saying Campbell and Edmonton.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, that was not, like, he wasn't just floating that out. That sounded like, you know, something was possibly moving in that direction. Hey, listen, like, they need a goalie. They need a goalie. They have some room. I don't know what you're paying Campbell if you're out in Edmonton, but
it's a good situation if you had Campbell and Smith, because I guess you run it as a tandem and you don't have to, you know, work Mike Smith as hard as he did this season.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think if you're giving Campbell a long-term deal of money, you need to expect 50 starts out of him.
Yes.
Like, if you're giving a guy $5 or $6 million a year, he's got to be able to grant you 50, 55 mm-hmm. starts.
100%.
But, you know, if it's 50 and Smith's playing 32, okay. And you know who's starting game one of the playoffs.
Probably keep both guys happy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a sure. – I mean, look, the Jack Campbell just doesn't have that record of durability, right, Hayes? I mean, he just – we saw it here in Toronto. I mean, and so you're taking a gamble there, but you got to believe that, hey, maybe as he matures as a player, he'll figure out how to take care of himself better and serve you well.
I don't know. I don't know if it's even taking care of yourself better. Like, I'm Johnny Warm-Up, Dave. Like, I'm warming up. I'm doing all the foam rolling, everything. I'm just hurt every year. It's just sometimes it just, that's just the way it is. And maybe it's the more that you do, you get hurt. I couldn't tell you, but every year it was like, oh, here comes the high ankle sprain. Here comes the ACL. Here comes, like, it's nothing you can do sometimes. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, he's become acclimated to a Canadian market. You know, like, that's another thing about Edmonton selling him. And I don't know if he's close with Hyman. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, Hyman, I'm sure, is probably in his ear and saying this is the way it operates out here. And
also, you get to play with McDavid.
Yeah. Like, you're going to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
So Edmonton's in a good that would be an interesting
And his
spot.
Other option, no, you're hearing his other option was maybe Detroit, because he's a Michigan guy.
Yep.
But, you know, you're not playing in the playoffs if you're playing for the Red Wings next year in all likelihood.
No.
So not as attractive.
Yeah. Well, that's something to track. And, you know, as for where the Leafs are at, Dreg's, you know, he's right about Mrazek is an employee of the team.
You know, it's not like
you don't throw him under the bus.
His key card still works.
It still works.
Yeah.
So
until
he is no longer an employee, you do have to, you know, publicly treat him with some respect.
Yeah.
And it's your signing.
That's
It'd be different
thing.
If Dumas just got hired. He didn't just get hired. He
and
literally signed him.
That's just it. Maybe you got to give your signing. If you believed in it that much last year, maybe you got to believe in it almost as much this year and think it was just a blip.
Yeah, and it that may end up being the direction they take.
Oh, man.
That will not
He's
go over well here.
Back in a Leafs uniform.
It will not go over
well. At training camp, there's going to be some unhappy people, especially.
Well, that's it.
Like, what if he gets off to a terrible start again?
What if he's injured in camp?
Oh.
Even worse. Like, if he starts with an injury, you're like, here we go Peter Mrazek.
You know who's going to be the most upset? It's your buddy who you do the show with every single day.
Oh. He
can't do the funny business with the goaltending.
No, and I don't blame him.
Yeah.
And listen, he's leading the charge, but I'm on that bus too. And if it's Mrazek, you better hit on whoever the other guy is.
Yeah.
Like, if it's Mrazek and then someone really underwhelming with him.
Oh, boy.
I can't even imagine the reaction. It'll be explosive in Toronto.
The narrative's right itself at that point.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, when I was a player, I kind of thought everyone wanted to write negative stuff just because it was probably so easy. But now that I'm on this side of things, I'm like, it's actually way better when the Leafs are winning. It's way better.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's in terms of business, I've had the same discussion so many. Do you know how much more audience you gain? How many more readers? Like, a championship run, go talk to the Raptors in 2019, when they covered that.
Yeah.
You know, the Blue Jays, or obviously the early 90s, even 15 and 16.
Yeah.
You know, everyone wants winning. Like,
it's way better to talk about.
They play the games.
Yeah.
You know, you can yell and scream at me or whatever. I don't play the games. They play the games. They lose, you got to talk about it.
I knew when I played lousy. Everyone knows when they play lousy.
Yeah.
But just in this market, you can bet that someone's going to talk about it. You can't hide from it.
Of course not.
No. And Frankie, you're right, though. People just tune out. They stop caring at a certain point if the team isn't good, right?
Yeah.
And that's happened with the Leafs many times in the last, 55 years.
Yeah, it has. All right, we'll come back with our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. The Jays got one this afternoon. They end up beating Oakland 2-1. The bats were not alive at all in Oakland. But they got to win. Barrios had himself an outing. And now they head to Seattle for 4 starting tomorrow night. So we'll look back on that as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app, including live betting if it's necessary. And it is, because I'm looking at the Angels game right now. You got Ohtani on the mound. And I like the over on the live bet right now, Angels Marlins. And the over is 6.5, and it's even money. It's all you got to pay is even money. Ohtani has been unbelievable. Best pitcher in baseball for what, 4 or 5 starts? Like, unhittable.
Crazy.
But incredible.
At some point, that's going to break, and the Angels' bats, I think, are alive enough for them to push that number up, maybe on their own. I like Philly on the run line, -1.5 tonight. Again, even money with Nola on the mound. I will take the Phillies tonight, and I like the over in the Houston-KC game. Today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. The Jays salvaged a win out of Oakland, which is really a depressing sentence.
Salvaged.
Salvaging a win out of Oakland.
In Oakland.
The worst team in baseball.
Yeah, not ideal. But Barrios had himself an outing. And listen, they've been playing a lot of baseball. It's on the West Coast, but that's the schedule. Like, you gotta play.
Everyone's got the schedule, man.
Yeah, it's,
everyone's,
and now you're
it.
In Seattle for 4, and, like, Seattle's, they've won, I think, 5 in a row. Plus run differential. They were a good team last year. They were a 91 team last
that
year.
That Julio Rodriguez is such a stud.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Robbie Ray's been coming around.
Yeah, he has been. Yeah.
This is a big series. And Barrios, obviously he's out, but you got Gausman. He's out tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Like, Gausman's not going to pitch. Barrios now, because he went today, you're not going to see him this weekend.
See what Manoah's got.
Yeah, we'll see what Manoah's got. He'll be back, obviously, in the rotation. Chicken strips, I'm assuming. Is Hatch going tomorrow night? I think Hatch will go tomorrow night.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. And they're saying maybe if Gausman can get it together, maybe he takes up Kikuchi's spot on Sunday, which I think might be wise, because it feels like they're going to at least skip Kikuchi for a start. But if you do that and you start going with openers and stuff, your bullpen's so depleted right now anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you're putting a lot of strain on that bullpen. But he's doing it anyway by pitching. So
I wonder how long they let it go without making a move, like a substantial move.
I think they got to be working on that as we speak, don't you, Dave? I mean, you're in a window here. You got to take advantage.
Oh, you got to take advantage, and you got to believe they got a lot of stuff brewing in terms of getting arms. You have to. I mean, they believe they're contenders here. They mm-hmm. believe that extra wild card spot is worth chasing, and it is, because they got a great chance to get it. But look at today. I mean, what was it? Bichette hits the homer that wins it in the 8th inning. That was the team's first lead, fellas, according to our good friend Richard Griffin, formerly the Toronto Star, now the Toronto Blue Jays. Their first lead in 51 innings. That's not good.
That is an astonishing stat.
Not the best.
Not the best. Yeah, that would have been when they had the lead off McClanahan. I was at that game. That was
Vladdy
hitting in Bichette. Yeah, it was
right.
The first game of the doubleheader on Saturday.
Right.
And, their offense over the course of the season, like, it had an awful start, but it has come alive significantly.
Yeah.
It was asleep, this last 3 days in Oakland. It's going to have to come alive in Seattle.
Well, you get tired of carrying it, though, right?
Yeah.
They had the best offense in baseball in June, guys, and they went 15-13.
That's right.
It's like,
yeah.
What more can we do, guys? You got to get some pitchers.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be able to win some ball games 2-1 like you did today. Like, you have to. You got to win in a variety of ways if you want to be serious. And I understand why they should still think they're serious. I mean, they're still in a playoff spot, and a lot of things have gone wrong. But they need Barrios, like, with a starting today. That's 2 in a row now where he's looked pretty good. Like, pretty good. Now, Oakland is what they are. Tampa, their bats are what they are. But if he gets back to where he's supposed to be, if Manoah only had that one blip in the radar, which I think is reasonable to expect,
yeah,
and if Gausman can recover, then you could still have a formidable 1-2-3. You're filling out the rest. The rest of the rotation at this point, I guess chicken strips will continue to be a part of it. But I don't know. I don't know what you do with Kikuchi because, you know, this is
what do you do with this guy?
I don't think they're going to designate him for assignment 16 starts into a 3-year deal. Like, that's Shapiro going to ownership.
He can't even believe what he's watching. When he's like, and they keep showing him. They keep panning over to him.
Yeah. It's really difficult to watch.
Sounds like it's more of a sports psychologist than a pitching coach is the problem. But
you think?
Oh, can't hit a strike zone, man. Can't hit a strike zone. It's not easy. It's a significant problem.
It is
a significant problem. Anyway, all right, Frankie, Dave, great seeing you guys.
Yeah.
As always, thank you guys for doing this. We always appreciate it. We'll be doing it a lot throughout the summer. We're looking forward to it. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m. We'll chat then.